Hashem Adonai, bless the name of the Lord, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my best friend and committed Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear, and shalom to all our listeners. Tonight, we will be looking at the many types of the Jewish wedding and its association with us, the Bride of Christ, and of course, our Jewish Jesus. But first, honey, please open tonight's program in prayer.
Okay. Abba, Father, as we anxiously await your soon coming shout of the last trumpet, may we be utterly persistent in sharing your gospel. With such darkness accelerating all around us, help us pierce through and stay mindful of those who are through you, who never forsakes us. We thrive because of your perfect peace that overcomes our chaos in these last days. We continue to trust you to provide all our needs and that your grace is sufficiently supplied in all our times of trials. We pray for the salvation of our listeners, loved ones, and their current afflictions as we continue to lift up our president for divine witness and for divine wisdom and protection. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, after still so many months, the left just won't move on. Still accusing many of President Trump's and his campaign staff of secret collusions with the Russians. And now his son, Donald Jr., is in the hot seat. From what I saw at the G20, Putin and President Trump are getting along and actually have both entered into an agreement of a ceasefire in southern Syria, which began on Sunday. This, although not said, I believe, was just time for more weapons to get to the rebels that the United States has always been supplying to fight Assad's army. So, has Putin jumped the Assad ship? Because yesterday, Assad's army decided to ignore the ceasefire and, along with Hezbollah, attacked the northern region just inside the ceasefire boundaries. Of course, the big question in all of this is, who will control Syria when ISIS is gone? The Shias or the Sunnis?
And who's who in those nations again?
Oh, well, the Shiites, of course, is Iran and Assad of Syria with their supposedly ally, Russia. Then on the Sunni side, it's Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel, and the United States. So what is Russia planning? Pretend to be our friend? Remember, it's all about the underground oil pipelines from Qatar that both sides want to build. Qatar was our ally for a while, but reports are now that they have switched and are helping Iran. Talk about confusion.
Yeah, probably, probably a division of Syria is probably inevitable.
Well, I'm thinking that as well. Maybe even a larger or after a larger major war where Israel is a key player, resulting in expanding its borders, as Psalm 83 talks about.
And in essence, Ezekiel 38 does too.
Yes, because in verse 11 it says that there'll be no walls, and so in my mind that means they have to be expanded.
Yep, that's what it sounds like. Okay, moving on. The Catholic Church is back in the news.
Yes, and it's Cardinal Pell, a Pope appointee of the third highest rank over finances. He's being charged with multiple child sexual abuse allegations while serving as a priest in Australia. A series of pedophile reports, rape, and immoral allegations. Also, on still another Vatican official's computer, an unprecedented amount of child porn has been discovered. And as well, the police raided Cardinal Capozzi's apartment where alcohol and drugs were found during a gay sex orgy. Thank God President Trump is on a mission to bring those, including elitists and some of our own government, who would harm our children through child sex trafficking and pedophilia, to justice.
Yeah, you know, and there's thousands have been arrested.
Truly there is. We don't hear about it.
Yeah, it's on the
and it's mostly on the low side of the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they're hoping that they will talk. But right now, the Catholic Church is scrambling. And what I'm about to tell you is incredible. But one high church official has suggested that child rape by clerics is a form of religious liberty. And some factions within the church are even justifying the abuse by suggesting that Jesus Christ was a pedophile.
Right. You know what they'll come up with next, you know?
This is according to a very respected Christian named David Zublik of TruthUnsealed.com, who has for many months now been researching and exposing child trafficking. Again, not just in the Catholic Church, but with the elitists of the world. And let me tell you, this is a big market, and probably one of the reasons countries have encouraged taking refugees, especially with children. Many who later are labeled as missing. This, of course, is satanic, and Ephesians 6 must be front and center in all Christians' minds, and please pray over our children.
Yeah, I know this is a is heavy on your heart because you were molested as a child.
Yes, a few times, and it's just so very evil.
Okay, let's change gears.
Yes, let's do that.
Because we'd like to hear from you, and you can connect with us either by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net, or you can leave a detailed message by calling 440-834-9006, and we'll call you back. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are very much needed and much appreciated, which automatically adds you to our mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching letters are archived for your learning pleasure.
And I'd also like to mention that if you order from Amazon.com and today's a real Prime Day sale, they will donate 5% to your favorite charity, to which we are listed as Shofar Ministries of Burton. And that will help with our expenses. Just put the word smile dot before the word amazon.com and click on our name.
It's just that simple.
Yes, smile.amazon.com.
Okay, the Bride of Christ. How does that picture into the Jewish wedding?
Well, in so many ways. So let's begin at the beginning. There are three ways that a Jewish marriage can be arranged. By the parents, sometimes from a young age.
The young man himself, as in Joseph and Mary.
Or there can be an agent.
Like Abraham did for Isaac by Eliezer.
Eliezer's name actually means helper of God.
Mm-hmm.
For we know from Genesis 15 that he was Abraham's closest servant and friend. So jump ahead to Genesis 24, where we see this agent, Eliezer, going to a far country, actually, where Abraham's family still resided to pick a bride for Jesus, for Isaac. It was a type of Jesus. And we know her name to be Rebecca, and she was a Gentile and a cousin to Isaac, which was well accepted in those days. In fact, Rebecca's brother was Laban. Remember, he later became the father of Rachel and Leah, who Isaac's and Rebecca's son Jacob would marry. Remember, that story is in Genesis 29, by the way.
Most definitely.
So we see that the agent speaks first, and you could say he woos her with some gifts of gold.
So this is a picture of our agent, the Holy Spirit.
Yes. He woos us towards Jesus and gives us spiritual gifts even better than gold.
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis 24:8, we see that it was her choice to become Isaac's bride, as it is with us. The Holy Spirit can tug at our hearts, but we have to choose ourselves to follow and become betrothed. Then the groom presents the contract, and it was called a ketubah.
To us, this is a type of his word.
Yes. which contains his promises and her responsibilities. He then pays the bride's price, and of course Jesus paid our price by shedding his own blood, also a blood covenant. And we see in Genesis 24:53, after Rebekah's acceptance, he even gave her family gifts too.
And what picture is that?
Well, I do believe that it is an indication of how the Holy Spirit also woos the family members as well. Kind of like that scripture in Acts claiming that you and your household shall be saved. Now, they must make that decision, however, themselves. But the tugging can be stronger, sometimes even allowing an affliction for them so that they can see that they need God in their lives. Not very pleasant, but very effective.
Yeah, there's a scripture in Hosea 5, I think verse 15, that says, "In their afflictions, they will earnestly seek me."
Yes, it does. In fact, we should pray for God to do whatever it takes to save their soul.
Yes, and we have.
Okay, I think I'd like to ask you to read Genesis 24:6-8, as this is another great typology of when Abraham firmly tells Eliezer to go get a bride for Isaac. But
Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there."
Wow. That's such a great picture of how Jesus stays back in heaven so that the Holy Spirit can fulfill the agent's part by pulling at our hearts. So we see how, actually, we benefit by having all three arrangements playing their parts for his bride. Besides the agent of the Holy Spirit, God from the beginning planned a bride for his son. And Jesus, too, fulfilled his big part when he came to our earth home and betrothed himself to us officially at the Last Supper.
Okay, what's next?
Well, now she personally has to accept the offer and shows that by drinking the wine set before her, thereby approving the contract, also called ketubah. She was then betrothed, which was legally binding, just like a marriage, but not to be consummated. And to break this betrothal would mean getting a legal separation called a get.
Now, how long is the betrothment?
Well, a typical betrothal period was between 1 and 2 years. And it was to prepare for the marriage, and they would not see each other. However, the friends of the groom or the witnesses, they would provide information.
The church's betrothal is approximately, I think, 2,000 years.
Yeah, so far. And what's remarkable is that in Hosea, we see the number 2 again. And we know to God one day is as 1,000 years. So in Hosea 6, it says Jesus would return in 2 days.
Another clue that we're getting very close.
Yes, indeed. So back to Genesis 24 and Rebecca. Remember, she's a Gentile who is now betrothed to Isaac, a type of the bride of Christ. We see that she would need to leave her world immediately. You can read that in verse 55. And we know it was a long, bumpy journey on a camel to learn his customs and then his traditions. She surely asked many questions to Eliezer about Isaac. Well, we too must learn our Jewish roots.
Yeah, leaving her world is a picture too.
Yes. We need to get out of the world too, or it can pull us back into bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, our new journey with Christ can sometimes be a bumpy ride, too. And just like Rebecca would ask Eliezer questions, He would teach her of their ways and customs.
You know, just like we need to do.
You bet. Okay, so now the bride was considered to be consecrated, set apart, and bought with a price. If she went out, she would wear a veil so others would know she was betrothed. She would likely purchase expensive cosmetics and learn to apply them to make herself more beautiful for the bridegroom. I think about Esther in chapter 2. When we study his word, we become more beautifully white in his eyes. That's how we make ourselves ready. That is our preparation. Like the stars, there are different degrees of brightness. Some stars brighter than others. And you know, in Daniel 12:3, it says, those who are wise shall shine. Our wisdom, as said often in Proverbs, comes from the word. So, Jesus came to the home of his family, Jesus came to the home of his bride, the earth, to present his marriage contract, the new blood covenant of better promises of grace and mercy. Jesus paid the bride price with his life. At the Last Supper, when breaking bread, he spoke of the price he was paying. He said, "This is my body given for you." The wine is a representation of the blood covenant. So that was the Last Supper, and now it's our communion. So to remember what he did. Just as the bridegroom would pour a cup of wine for the bride to drink to seal the marriage contract, so Jesus poured wine for his disciples. His words describe the significance of the cup in representing the bride price for the marriage contract. It says, "Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant.' The disciples drank of the cup, thus accepting the contract." As part of the betrothed bride's preparation, she would also soon partake of a mikveh, or a cleansing bath. Well, that's a type of our water baptism. For us, Jesus also provided a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Before his ascension, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Acts 1:4. Praise God and hallelujah. For the groom, he would prepare a beautiful wedding chamber. It was called a hadar in Hebrew, and that would be for the honeymoon, typically built onto his father's house or property. The bride and groom were to spend a mandatory Shabuah. This was a period of 7. And of course, we know by Genesis 29:27, remember how Jacob had to fulfill Leah's Shabuah, or week, before he could marry Rachel? Isaiah 26:20 says, "During our time of Shabuah, the indignation will be occurring upon the earth." That's pretty plain. Which, of course, just happens to be for a period of 7. And in this case, 7 years. But 7 is the number for completion. So it has to be 7, and nothing shorter or longer, before we return in Revelation 19. The wedding chamber had to be built to the father's specifications. The young man would go for his bride only when his father approved. If he was asked when the wedding was to be, he might well say, "It is not for me to know, but my father only." This is typical wedding terminology that Jesus used as well, so that we would get the hint and understand how it will be with us. Jesus told his disciples, in my father's house, he said, are many mansions. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me. John 13. When the groom left, and as he approached the bride's home, he would shout and blow the shofar. Of course, that was the ram's horn or trumpet. Does that sound familiar? Of course it does. That's how the Lord will come for us. And you can read that, as I'm sure you have many times, in 1 Thessalonians 4. So after a short ceremony under a huppah, they entered the wedding chamber, or hadar, for the honeymoon, while the bridegroom's friends these two witnesses would wait outside the door of the wedding chamber to hear the groom say that the blood covenant had been consummated by the breaking of the virgin's hymen. Now the witnesses would shout it to the assembled guests that it had been consummated. And again, this is a blood covenant. Knowing this Hebraic roots custom helps to understand John 3:29, where he says the friend listens for the bridegroom's voice. And of course, this is more wedding terminology. Also on your own, read John 15, especially 13 through 15. Okay, more typology. Who are our two witnesses? Well, it's Moses and Elijah, who after the wedding under the huppah of heaven, will go down to earth to assist in the judgment, and then later killed, according to Revelation 11. The guests also celebrated the 7 days until the unveiled bride and the bridegroom emerged from the wedding chamber to hear the groom introduce her as his wife and prepare to celebrate back at the home of the bride's family. That's a lot of typology because we are coming back to earth for the wedding supper. In Revelation 19:7, we are now called his wife. And if you're Bible says bride, it's wrong. The original says wife, because our wedding occurred in heaven. The reception is back on earth. So in summary, from the pattern of the ancient wedding practices, we see that like the bridegroom of ancient times, Jesus came to the home of his bride for the betrothal, made a covenant with his bride, and sealed it with a glass of wine, paid the bride price with his life, and sent his bride gifts of the Holy Spirit. We, the betrothed, currently await the return of our groom to take us to the wedding chamber. That's at the rapture. To spend 7 years while the tribulation occurs on earth. We will then depart with our bridegroom for our new home, the renewed Jerusalem. And after Jesus finishes the cleanup, you know, he's going to throw the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire, and then he's going to have the judgment of the separation between the sheep and the goats, where the sheep will go into the new kingdom and the goats will go into hell. And then we will celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. Just happen to coincide with the Feast of Tabernacles. It's really all in there. Just connect the dots. So let me ask you, do you have the covenant blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? Well, if so, how well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Don't wait another moment. Grab your salvation while it is still day, for the night is coming. Always your choice. Spend time understanding the ketubah that he wrote for you. You know you're going to meet your groom someday. Don't you want to say, I read your contract and I loved it, and thanks for writing it with your blood. Then comes eternity with him forever. That's our blessed hope. Why would anyone want anything else? Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622. Yevrekeka Adonai v'yishmeraka. Ya'er Adonai panav aleka v'yinecha. Yasei Adonai panav aleka v'yisem l'hashalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, pray for your president and sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper. And of course, that's Psalm 122, 6. Tune in next time when we will have another lesson, and be blessed, and may the enemy run from you. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.